Blog Talk Radio.
Come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. I didn't have a show last week. My wife and I, we went slightly out of town, had some plans out of town last week. And, well, let me just get on with the guests and everything. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646. Call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything that is related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. No ad hominems, no character assassinations, no excessive profanity, no trolling or any of that type of thing. If you feel like you need to indulge in these type of activities, I will give you the warning right now. You will have a very short time on this show because I will kick you off. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just do it in a respectable manner. Okay. If you do that, you know, you should have a pretty decent exchange on this show. But anyway, just want to make this announcement. Next weekend, I will not be having a show. I planned this for several months. I won't be having a show next week. So I just want to let everybody know that up front, that so that you won't tune in and be like, oh, he's not having a show. You know, last week I do apologize for that because that last week kind of came up at the last minute. So, but this one, I've been saying it for several weeks, you know, I won't be having a show next weekend, but I should have one on the weekend of the 23rd. Oh, wait a minute. I might not have one on the weekend of the 23rd either, you know, so the next time I have a show will probably be October the 30th because I got something to do too. On the 23rd. But anyway, hope you all are having a good weekend. Hope you're having a good Saturday. It's all rainy and everything here. My wife and I, we went out this morning. I had to go to Raleigh, go to the fairgrounds because the NC State Fair is about to start. And I got a photo to put in a photo contest and hoping, you know, I'm hoping my photo at least gets an honorable mention. You know, I'm trying to sharpen my photography skills. Photography is something that I've been interested in a very long time, and just fairly recently I've started, you know, to feed into that interest. And one of the ways that I'm trying to help to sharpen my craft is to put my photos in photo contests and see what I'm up against and things like that. And that way I can learn how to do my photography better. I want to learn Photoshop and all that other stuff, whatever. But but that's basically how I spent my morning. Most of the day has just been pretty much a lazy day. Had somewhat of a long week at the job this week, but that's okay. You know, nothing bad or anything, but just looking forward to next weekend, because next weekend is next Saturday, a week from today, is my 53rd birthday. And I let people know that I don't make a big deal. I really don't make a big deal about my birthday. You know, some people, they're expecting, you know, when their birthday comes, they're expecting someone to show, you know, their so-called appreciation and whatever. They expect people to give them a gift. And, you know, some people, they get a little mush mouth when no one remembers their birthday. I'm not that type of person. You know, it's my day. You know, I don't think everybody needs to stop what they're doing just to obligate themselves to my day. You know, if you do something, that's fine. You know, if you say, hey, Vince, I realize it's your birthday. Hey, I want to give you something. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But you have 365 days in a year to show your appreciation to me. You know, and I don't need you to just show me appreciation on my birthday. You know, and another reason why I'm like that about my birthday, because I almost died when I was 4 years old. And when you had that realization that you almost died, you know, when your birthday comes around, you're like, man, bump what people do for me on my birthday or anything. I'm just glad to be alive. I'm just glad that God has given me another year to live, you know. So I don't make a big deal about it. Even with my wife, says sometimes she wants to do things for my birthday. And I tell her, you know, you don't have to do anything for my birthday. And some people say, oh, yeah. A lot of times when people say don't do anything for their birthday, and they tell you don't worry about it, you know, don't worry about it, but they still want you to do something for their birthday. Well, my thing is this. I'm a person, you got to be direct with me. I don't like playing these little word games. You know, I'm like, if you want me to do something, then I'll do it. If you don't, then I'm not going to worry about it. And when you tell me don't worry about it, guess what? I'm not going to worry about it, you know. But, that's why I don't make such a big deal about what my birthday, you know, what I'm going to get on my birthday or who remembers my birthday or anything like that. All I know, that is my day, born October the 16th, 1968. About a quarter to 12 in the morning, middle of the day on a Wednesday, you know. So that's my day. You don't have to worry about doing anything for me on my birthday. I just thank God that I'm alive to see that day, because there's so many people that haven't lived to see my age. You know, there are people who are younger than I am that, you know, and they've gone off the scene earlier in life than they probably should have, I won't even go so far to say that, because when you die, whatever your age is, it's your time. It's your time. It might be through murder or something like that, but it's still your time. And my thing is this: a lot of times when people pass away, when they die, the first thing that I think of is, did they make it in? And when I say did they make it in, did they make it into paradise? You know, because, you know, you have heaven, you have hell. And has that person done what they should to be able to make it into heaven? And I'm not talking about a works type of gospel or anything, because a lot of people think that, you know, you got to do good things and everything, and then God weighs your good deeds against your bad deeds, and if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then he'll welcome you into heaven. No, that's not how it happens. Because there are a lot of good people in this world that, you know, help the homeless, feed the hungry and everything like that, but they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's, you know, that's what makes the difference. You can be a good person. I mean, it's all right, you know. And I'm not saying you shouldn't feed the hungry or help the homeless or anything like that. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, well, you're not going to go into paradise. You know, and that's look, I didn't plan on saying that at this moment or anything like that. But that's just what I have been taught through the scriptures. Okay. You know, it has nothing to do with how good you are or how bad you are. It has nothing to do with what political affiliation you're with or what society says about you or how much fame and fortune you have. It has to do with, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you can do all the good things you want to do. Heaven will not be your home. That's just my thing. But anyway, you all know that when speaking of political, I don't like politics. I just don't like getting into politics. But speaking of, you know, the political, those of you all who listen to me on this show, you know I lean conservative. I lean conservative. And the reason why I tend to lean conservative, because what the conservatives are doing pretty much matches up with my belief system. See, I don't let politics form my beliefs. I let my beliefs form my politics. And a lot of what the political conservatives strive for is much of what I believe. Anti-abortion, allowing people I'm trying to form my words here, allowing people to exercise their rights in freedom and liberty, things of that sort. And that's just how my belief system leans. It leans conservative. And a lot of times I get on here and I talk about current events and politics and things like that. And that's good because, hey, that's my show. And basically the reason why I created this show was to talk about issues in the black communities around this country. Because a lot of us, we've fallen into this thing that, you know, we black people are just a bunch of victims and the white folks are holding us down and we can't get ahead because of the white folks. And I can tell you from experience that that's a bunch of bull crap. It is. It really is. Coming up when I was coming up in school and whatever and things like that, the people used to give me the most problems were other black people. Bullying, making fun of me, talking about my skin color, things like that. Those were black people. Now I did get some heat from the white folks. Yes, I've had white folks call me the N-word. Yes, I have. But I probably had more black folks call me that word, way more than any white person has. I can only think of two instances in my life that someone directly called me the N-word. And the last time that happened was back in the mid-80s. Ever since the mid-80s, I have never heard one white person refer to me as the N-word. Now, given the N-word does not offend me, it doesn't offend me at all. If a white person comes up to me and says, "Hey, you silly N-word," okay, that's what you think about me. But now the reason why I don't mention the word now is because I'm on someone else's channel, if I was on my own channel, I'd just go out and say what the word is. But I don't want to do that to the owner of this channel. But the N-word, it just doesn't bother me. Now, I know when people use it as an insult. And I can, you know, and if I deal with you for calling me the N-word, it's not because you called me the N-word. It's because I know it's been being done with an air of disrespect. You know, when I started this show back in 2009, I had this, you know, one of the apostles of blackness came on, called in and called me a stupid N-word. And I hung up on him. I wasn't offended that he called me the N-word, but I did it because of his disrespect. And one thing I don't like is disrespect. I don't like disrespect at all. I'm a firm believer in whatever you want people to do unto you, you do it unto them. That's respect. And you don't have to disrespect me because my point of view doesn't match your point of view. That's the problem. But anyway, going on, you know, I know the word, the N-word has been used to insult and to demean and whatever and things like that. But the thing about it to me is it's funny that a lot of us in the black realm, we tend to take words that racist white people use against us, and we like to use it against our fellow black brothers and sisters who don't think like we do. But then they try to dress it up when you tell them, well, if you don't like white people calling you that, why do you use that word? Well, we use it as a term of endearment. Oh, really? I can guarantee you I could come across two black people fighting one another, and all you'll hear is that N-word just going. And they're not saying that as a term of endearment. I'll let you know that right now. They're not going to use it as a term of endearment. They're using it as an insult. So when I hear people talk this stuff, they say, well, when we black people use it, it's a term of endearment. No, no, you're trying to deflect. You're trying to, I guess you're trying to gaslight in a kind of way, in a certain kind of way. But we use it at, no, I don't use that word. I never use that word to refer to anyone. I never use that word. I've never, to my knowledge, I've never used that, the word in my entire life to refer to somebody else and say, you stupid N-word and all this and everything. I don't use it because I don't think it's a word that's necessary. I don't even think it's a word we should be using in our vocabulary. But having said all that, it doesn't offend me. Doesn't offend me one bit. But what I am seeing in the black realm today is we're always, the powers that be in the black realm, we're always trying to make ourselves to be the victims all the time. We're always saying, you know, well, the white man doesn't want us to get ahead, so that's why they do certain things. A crime that a black person commits, if a black person and a white person commit the same crime, they'll let the white person off, but the black person will suffer the consequences. And they don't give any example of where that has happened. And I'm not talking about different crimes. I'm talking about comparable crimes. They don't give a good example of where that happens, but they just bloviate. They just shoot it out their mouths. Oh, if this person were black, they would have dealt with him different. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because there's a story that happened this week that shows you that a lot of what black people are saying about black people getting, if a black person in the same situation with a white person, the black person usually gets killed. but this black person didn't. I was watching a video yesterday. This lady got pulled over by some police, and the police officer pulled her over because he said she didn't have a front license plate. They said and she's sitting there, oh, what do you mean? I know I got a police. Now, folks, you're not helping the situation by getting an attitude with a police officer. You're not helping the situation. And she's sitting there, oh, I'm afraid for my life, because y'all might shoot me. Whoa, you think a police officer is just going to pull you over, make a false accusation, and then put a bullet in your brain? Because you hear these twisted stories, like the Michael Browns and the Dante Wrights and all that. You think they just came up and said, ooh, black person, let's shoot them. That's not how it happens, people. That is not how it happens. And she said, I'm just shaking because I'm afraid what this police, and see, because you believe the lie so long, you've heard the lie so long, you start to believe it. Them police officers were not there to shoot her. Now, given the police officers were wrong, they were wrong for pulling her over, because she did have a front license plate, and the police officer even apologized to her and said, hey, I was wrong. She's like, yeah, I told you all. Yeah, see. Now, my thing is, the police officer should have made sure that her license plate was, you know, in the location it should have been. But here's my thing. Police officers make mistakes just like every one of us do. Nobody is exempt from making mistakes. But see, we want to demonize police officers for whatever reason, because they got the gun and, you know, in the past they may have, they may have assaulted some black people in the past. But you're not going to get me to believe that the majority of police officers out there are looking for some black meat to hunt down. You're not going to get me to believe that. Do I believe there are white officers who are prejudiced against black people? Yes, I do. But they are not the norm. But when you come up here and you make this excuse of, oh, I'm afraid for my life. No, you're not. Afraid for your life or what? The police officer didn't even threaten you. Hey, oh, I'm scared. I've never been scared when a police officer pulled me over. The only thing I was scared of was having to pay that ticket. That's the only thing. I wasn't afraid of a police officer pulling out a gun and, ooh, you're a black person. Bang, bang, bang. Because I knew every time I got pulled over, it was because I was breaking the law. A couple of times I got pulled over for speeding. I got a ticket for parking in a taxi zone one time. A couple of times I got pulled over because my tags were expired. And each time I didn't give the police officer any lip. And I don't know where people get this thing about, you know, they're hunting down black people. But we want to ignore the fact that more black people, way more black people, get their lives taken by other black people than the police do. We want to ignore that fact because, you know, CBS and NBC and all these other big-time media stations, they tell us that. Because that's what we see coming through the TV. But a lot of us are too lazy. We're intellectually lazy to go and research and find out what the deal really is. We think the news reporter is telling us everything we need to know, and they're not. News reporters are only in business to report the news. They're not there to report the truth. They're there to shape a story in such a way that it will improve their ratings. Cut a little here, snip a little there, trim a little there. And they give you the story they want you to hear because they're looking for a certain reaction from you. And if they don't get that certain reaction, you know, their ratings go down. I guess they don't get their money or whatever, stuff like that. It's all a popularity and money game to them. And a majority of us think when we watch the evening news, we think that that person in that bow tie or that nice dress or whatever who is speaking to us through the tube, we think that person is telling us the truth. And 9 times out of 10, they're not. That's why you have to think for yourself. That's why you have to do your own research. You can't depend on someone to give you all the information. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we don't need teachers. We don't need someone to teach us or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is you got to take everything that is told to you with a grain of salt. You say, okay, I hear that, but let me check to see if this is really what's going on. But a lot of us in the black communities, we don't have that mindset. And I'm not going to sit here and say most of us are like that. Maybe it is most of us. Maybe it is. But whether it's most of us or not, it's too many of us who have that type of mentality. And we get the information from the news and everything, and we go around almost like we know everything, and someone gives a different point of view, and then next thing you know, you want to shout that person down because their point of view doesn't match yours. You want to insult them. You want to launch with the character assassination. Where do you get your information from? Well, where do you get yours from? You better stop watching that Fox News. And I've had so many people tell me that you get your information from Fox News. I tell them, this is my point of view long before Fox News came on the scene. Where did Fox News... Fox News came around 1997, 96, 97. My point of view was formed long before then. I've had this point of view since the late 80s. So, you know, you can drop that argument. But see, they do it as a way to tear you down, to get a reaction out of you, and to gaslight you. That's all they do. That's the only reason why they'll do that, because they can't give you any answers. They don't have a rebuttal for your point of view. And so because they don't do that, then they want to start gaslighting and calling you names and giving you all this, you know, and everything to get you to doubt yourself. To get you to sit there and say, well, maybe, you know, maybe I am wrong or something. No. Now, you can't get me like that because I'm pretty sure of myself. I'm pretty sure of myself. Now, I might shut down the argument because I'm not getting anywhere with you, but that doesn't mean you won the argument. Really, if your argument is not infused with the truth, you haven't won the argument. You might think you have. You might pat yourself on the back. Yeah, I showed him something. Look, he couldn't even answer me. Nah. Reason why I ain't answering you, because I know it's no use of going any further with you, because all you're going to do is continue on with the ad hominem attacks and the character assassination. That's all you're going to do. So I'm not going to waste my time with you. And, you know, like I tell people, I say it all the time on this show. My skin color does not determine how I'm going to feel about a certain situation. It's just not. I don't see myself as a proud black man. Yeah, I'm black. I'm proud. Yeah, get back. Nah. I'm a black person. I'm like, okay, I'm black. But I don't hold my skin color above the truth. And too many of us, we can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
We can't handle it. Because we've been fed a bunch, we've been fed a load of garbage for most of our lives. When someone offers a differing point of view, we look at that person who holds the truth as part of the fringe sect. You crazy. Where did you hear that? I ain't never heard that before. And you think because you never heard something before that you know that it, automatically that tells me that you think you know everything. Because you ain't heard that before, so it must not be true. That's your mentality. But anyway, I was on Facebook this week, and I came across this post on Facebook. And those of you all who know me know I'm a Christian. And when I say I'm a Christian, I don't just use that word term loosely, because you got a lot of people calling themselves Christians, and when you see their actions, nah, they ain't no Christian. And let me do this. I should have had it was something I needed to set up here. It ain't gonna take long. But you have people who call themselves Christians and they buy into this Black Lives Matter garbage. They buy into it. I mean, hook, line, and sinker. And I've said this before, a lot of us, a lot of Black people are going to find themselves in an internally warm climate because they care more about their skin color than they do about the truth. Let me get here. Just bear with me, folks. Bear with me. Trying to get my... There we go. Okay, here we go. And I'm going to turn to, I'm going into my, into the Holy Scriptures. Just like I said, I'm a man who believes the Bible. And I'm going to pull up Luke, the 15th chapter. Uh-oh. I got this Kindle. It's fairly new. Trying to, let's see here. Just bear with me, folks. Okay, here we go. Now I'm in the right area now. All right, let's see. They wanted to, a lot of these so-called Christians, they want to use the Bible. And I have a show on Sundays called Prophet or Lost, where I talk about a lot of these errors that people preach. And they cherry pick the Bible, first of all, and then they twist the scriptures to fit their mode of thinking. It's called eisegeting the scriptures. You have eisegesis and you have exegesis. Exegesis is when you read the scriptures and you understand them for what the scriptures really are. Eisegesis is when you read the scriptures and you put your own ideals into it, and your own point of view and your own thinking, and you twist the scriptures to fit your ideal. That's what eisegesis is. So instead of exegeting the scriptures, a lot of Christians eisegete it. And a lot of things that they say is in the Bible is not the Bible. But anyway, let me read this post. It says, if you are a Christian and can't hear hashtag Black Lives Matter without feeling the need to respond with a criticism that all lives matter, then crack open your Bible and hit up Luke 15. Don't have it handy? Let me summarize. Now, the scripture he's talking about is Luke 15. I believe it begins at verse 3. It says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying," this is Jesus speaking, "what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance." Now, they tried, certain people call themselves Christian. They try to twist this scripture to fit the ideals of Black Lives Matter. And let me go on and continue reading this post. It says, "There are 100 sheep, but one goes missing. Jesus leaves the 99 and goes after the one." Now, they're trying to use this as an argument against people who say all lives matter, because somehow, some way, they have formed the opinion that if you say all lives matter, that's racist. We understand all lives matter, but we're talking about the black ones. Well, when you say all lives matter, that is not excluding the black lives. For some reason, I don't know, someone's brain cells are not firing right or whatever, they think that if you say all lives matter, that's racist. And you don't understand what we mean when we say black lives matter. Yeah, we do understand what you mean. You only care about the black lives. And not only that, you only care about the black lives that are killed by white cops. You don't care about the 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-old kids that get gunned down in drive-by shootings, because a bunch of lunkheads have a grudge to settle with somebody else. Black Lives Matter, the organization Black Lives Matter, you very, very rarely, if ever, hear them say, "Hey, y'all, we got to stop this. We are killing our children out here." You don't hear them talk about that. But this rascal goes on. "The 99, but what about us? Don't we matter?" Of course the 99 still matter, but they're not the ones in danger. The one is. I'll say it again. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. So they're taking the scripture, they're trying to twist it around, and they're trying to make it look like that Black Lives Matter is a biblical group when they're not. They're a hate group. And yes, I will dare say they are full of racists. Now, you got people out there talking about, oh, well, Black Lives Matter, somehow, you know, when they first formed, they had good intentions, but somehow someone came in and corrupted. No, they didn't have good intentions, because Black Lives Matter was formed off of a lie. And if you are formed off of a lie, you don't have good intentions. The incidents involving Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown. Trayvon Martin attacked someone, had him on the ground, beating the crap out of him, and this person pulled out a gun and shot him. Michael Brown attacked a cop. The cop was defending himself, shot Michael Brown. Now, in neither one of those cases do I believe that any of the shooters were guilty of murder. Yes, even George Zimmerman. I do not believe that George Zimmerman was guilty of murder, as much of a bonehead George Zimmerman has shown himself to be. But I do not think that he was guilty of murder. And definitely Darren Wilson wasn't guilty of murder. And of course, people make excuses for him. Oh, He just had some tea and some Skittles and, you know, or Michael Brown, he was going to go to college to better himself. Better himself. If he was trying to better himself, he wouldn't have attacked Darren Wilson. You think you go to college, that's going to make you a better person? Nah. Go to college as a bonehead, you graduate, you're an educated bonehead. College doesn't make you a better person. It might help in some ways, but it doesn't make you a better person. Someone actually told me that, say, yeah, but you got to understand, Michael Brown, he was going to college to better himself. I would love for someone to give me Michael Brown's transcripts. Show me what kind of student he was. Give me his portfolio of how he respected authority. Because apparently he didn't respect authority. He attacked a man in his grocery store, and then he attacked a cop. So apparently he didn't care about authority. But that's because of these two incidents with Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin. That's how Black Lives Matter came to be. So don't give me this thing that Black Lives Matter was formed with good intentions, because it was not. But this apple brain wants to use scripture and twist it around to say this is what Black Lives Matter means. So you all need to stop saying all lives matter. The brain dead thing is, what are you talking about? When we say all lives matter, that includes the black ones. We're not excluding black folks. But once again, the powers that be form it around and say, oh, that when a person tries to counter with all lives matter, that means they're racist. They don't understand what we really mean. And see, their mentality is that the reason why we say Black Lives Matter is because we're being hunted down by the cops. We're trying to make the cops more accountable. Now, let me tell you all something. Crooked cops is a concern of everyone, not just black people. Because I can guarantee you, I can pull at least one person out of every race in this country, and they can tell you that they had some bad dealings with the cops. Now, if you want to lower your instances of interaction with the police, stop committing crimes. The reason why the police are in black neighborhoods so many times is because that's where a lot of the crimes are occurring. They're not there because we gotta make sure we keep these black cattle in the pen, because you know they might tend to stampede. You know, we got to look after these black people, got to keep an eye on them. Now, the reason why they are in these black neighborhoods is because that's where the crimes are happening. And no, I'm not saying black people are the only criminals in this country. So if you're listening to me and you got this, you know, apostles of blackness way of thinking, that's not what I'm saying. But the majority of your crimes occur in these black neighborhoods. Now, if you don't want the cops riding through your neighborhood lurking about like the Loch Ness Monster, then you need to do something about it at your level, at the individual level, at the residential level. Because the cops can only respond when a crime has already occurred. Now, if you deal with that at the residential level, you can nip it at the bud. You can nip these crimes at the bud. Hey, I know some drug dealers over there. We need to deal with them. And I'm not saying do something illegal to deal with them. I'm not saying that. Hey, our neighborhood is nasty. Let's clean it up. Let's stop the fatherless homes. Let's stop the irresponsible sexual behavior. Because all of these things work together and they create a black hole of crime in your neighborhoods. My wife and I, we live in a neighborhood right now in Durham, North Carolina. Just a couple of blocks up the street from us, used to be a pretty high crime rate until they gentrified it. Yeah, gentrify. Yeah, that's a four-letter word to a lot of you black people out there. Gentrification. More white people moved in. And you know what happened? Something magical happened. The crime went down significantly. Now, I'm not saying white people don't commit crimes. I'm not saying that. Because they do. But they seem to have it a lot, they seem to have it a lot more together in their neighborhoods than black people do. But see, black people always want to paint themselves out to be victims all the time. That's why we can't get ahead. Let me share this story with you, too. Of course, you all heard about the school shooting in Fort Worth, Texas this week. Let me pull that story up. I thought I already had the story up. I thought I had it up. Oh, here it is. You all heard about the, let me do this. The kid, Timothy Simpkins, 18 years old. He gets in a fight at school. I think one of them is still fighting for his life. They died. He pulled through, but one of his victims, you know, is still in the hospital. Two of them got out. And at first, they show you his picture. And you want to know why? Because they don't want to be seen be as racist. A lot of times when you shoot, they believe shooting. What is mass shooting? Mass shooting is that at least three one where, you know, is shooting up a bunch of because only white people who are involved in mass shootings. We hear about someone getting shot at a theater or at a school, you know, say, oh, those are white people. But see, mass shootings go on almost every day in this country. Bet y'all didn't know that, did you? Person comes up, drive by, and shoots into a crowd of people, guess what? That's a mass shooting. But anyway, the news media, they wanted to play this, you know, they wanted to tread lightly on this because they didn't want the picture of the shooter to be revealed. But lo and behold, it was revealed, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, this guy is black. This doesn't fit the narrative. And when the picture got out there, then people wanted to make excuses. Oh, he was being bullied because he was rich. They were making fun. Now, I used to get bullied like some type of crazy when I was coming up in school. I never one time thought of bringing a gun to school and shooting it up. Now, let me show you the level of hypocrisy. Let me show you the level of hypocrisy that goes on with this. Of course, now, when we have these shootings, we want to compare these shootings to someone like Dylann Roof. Dylann Roof was a nut job back in 2014, I believe it was, who shot up the church in Charleston, South Carolina, killed 9 people. Now, a lot of discrepancies came out about how the police handled that. First of all, they said, oh, they took him to Burger King. As if they said, okay, hey, Dylann, what do you want to eat? What Burger King, okay, let's take you in here, okay? Choose whatever you want on your menu, on the menu. Oh, yeah, I want a Whopper, I want this, I want that, okay, yeah. Folks, the reason why they took Dylan Roof to Burger King wasn't to pat him on the back and make him feel good about what he had done. That is police procedure. That's police procedure. Everyone who gets arrested, they give them something to eat. And by the way, you know, y'all stop trying to use that Dylan Roof thing, please. Every time something like this, this when a white person does it, they get taken to Burger King. How many white people have you heard that got taken to Burger King? We always want to point at Dylan Roof. What other white person got taken to Burger King? And here's the thing, too. They always say that if a black person gets caught in a mass shooting like a white person, that black person usually ends up dead. Guess what, y'all? Timothy Simpkins is still alive. Didn't have a scratch on him. Still alive. And not only that, he was bonded out of jail less than a day after the incident. He was on $75,000 bond. He was bonded out of jail less than a day after the incident. And his folks are having a get together. Oh, yeah, so welcome home, you know, yada, yada, yada. What he did was wrong, but he was picked on. No, he was not picked on. At least not to the level that people make it out to be. But people want to make excuses for him. But here's a classic example of black privilege. That ought to make the apostles of blackness kind of mad, right, with that. Timothy George Simpkins, released on bond on Thursday after a bondsman paid his $75,000 bail. Pulled a gun from his backpack on Wednesday at Timberview High School shortly after 9 a.m. Video taken minutes earlier shows him being beaten up by another boy in his classroom. His family says he was being bullied because he has he has nice things and was constantly picked on. Witnesses told police that Simpkins shot the bully 7 or 8 times before shooting a teacher and fleeing. He fled campus, then turned himself in to cops on Wednesday afternoon along with his attorney. Police won't say where the gun came from, who it is registered to, or how he was able to get it into school. The school does not have metal detectors like many other schools. The teenager who was shot has not been named. He remains in the hospital. Another teenager suffered a grazer wound, and a 25-year-old teacher, Calvin Pettit, was shot in the back. And see, a lot of these people were innocent bystanders. And when you compare that, when you tell certain people, you know, about what this boy did, they'll sit there and say, well, he didn't kill anybody. As if to say, if he were white, somebody would have died. He only injured people. He wasn't shooting to injure. They said one of the people he shot is still in the hospital now. But had this been a white shooter, Black Lives Matter, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, all the apostles of blackness would have descended on this area and talked about, we need to stop this racism. We need to stop this. But as soon as this boy's picture was put up, the mainstream media, all of a sudden they backed off. Why? Because they got a certain narrative that they got to continue to perpetuate. The teenage gunman who opened fire in an Arlington, Texas school on Wednesday celebrated at home. Celebrated! Yay, I'm home! I was in the clink, but now I'm home. Celebrated! at home after being released on a $75,000 bond while his victims, a 15-year-old boy and a 25-year-old teacher, remain in the hospital, one of them clinging to life. Timothy George Simpkins was being held on $75,000 bond on three charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, but the 18-year-old walked out of Tarrant County Jail on Thursday afternoon. A bondsman met the bail terms on Thursday, posting at least some of the full amount, and he walked free. On Wednesday, he pulled a gun from his backpack and shot a 15-year-old boy 7 or 8 times, shot teacher Calvin Pettit in the back and grazed a teenage girl before going on the run from Timberview High School. Angry about a fight that had just happened with a 15-year-old boy repeatedly punched him. Simpkins said nothing as he strode out of the jail on Thursday in a blue t-shirt matching baseball cap worn backwards and jeans. It's unclear why he has been charged with aggravated assault. Why is that unclear? And not attempted murder. Oh, well, okay, I got you. It's unclear why he's been charged with aggravated assault and not attempted murder or more serious charges, or why the judge granted him bail. This is a black kid. Usually you all say a white kid gets all these perks. This is a black kid. And there's no mistaking that he's black if you see his picture. Hours later, one of his relatives boasted on social media that he was already home and shared videos from a family gathering inside a home. He was shown holding a baby, standing in his kitchen, chatting to relatives. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, Tim. You beat the system. You beat the system, dude. I'm going to hold it right there. I'm going to hold it right there so I can do my advertising. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, and of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit.
Welcome back to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. If you'd like to be a guest, call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And I see you there, caller. I've seen you there for quite a while. I got to get out what I got to say, and then I'm going to head to the phones. But before I went to the break, I was talking about this kid, Timothy Simpkins, 18 years old, in Fort Worth, Texas, I believe it was, where he shot up a school. And unlike the narrative goes, this guy was given lots of perks. He wasn't given a attempted murder. He was given an aggravated assault charge, even though one of his victims is still in the hospital. And he was bonded out of a $75,000 bail. And this kid is at home celebrating with his folks and whatever. And one of the questions someone asked was, where's the father at? Where's the father? And he's sitting there, you know, like, first of all, I wouldn't have had no celebration. I wouldn't have had no celebration, but that's how they do it. You know, hey, you beat the system, buddy. You beat the system. Now, this boy is 18 years old. He can be tried as an adult, which he is. He's an adult. Typically, he's an adult. He's 18 years old. Now, supposing that person that's in the hospital takes a turn for the worse and ends up dying, you still going to justify his bail? And I know how some of you black mothers are. My baby. I'm not trying to down black women. I'm not a Tommy Sotomayor or Kevin Samuels here, which I don't think they down black women either, but they're just misunderstood. But he's a classic example of someone who grows up in a fatherless home and he suffers the consequences for it. And not just him, but people around him. Because he has no guidance in the house. Same thing with Trayvon Martin. Even though Trayvon Martin was, he stayed with his mom, but he was visiting his father at the time he was killed. Michael Brown didn't even stay with his mother. Michael Brown was raised by his grandmother. But when Michael Brown met an early demise, here comes mom's out of the woodwork. Oh, my baby. No, he wasn't your baby enough for you to raise him. But this is usually a common denominator with these type of incidents. No fathers in the homes. And this is what's devastating black families today. But let me go on. Meanwhile, teacher Calvin Pettit, who was shot because he tried to break up the fight, remained in the hospital with a bullet in his shoulder that narrowly missed his aorta. Now, those of you all who don't know what the aorta is, if that ever gets cut, it takes you about 3 minutes to bleed out. You're going to bleed forever. The 15-year-old boy who has not been named is also still in a hospital in a critical condition. Pettit's horrified sister, upon learning the shooter had been released, tweeted, "How can this keep managing to get worse?" The Tannett County District's attorney still has not filed a case against the teen, and his next court date has not yet been scheduled. This is an attempted murder, folks. He should still be in prison. And they show all these pictures of him getting out of jail, and he's celebrating with his family. Simpkins, who is 5'9" and weighs 135 pounds, opened fire in his classroom at Timberview High School on Wednesday morning shortly after 9 a.m. after a fight with a 15-year-old boy who has not been named. A video of their fight was posted on social media by Simpkins' cousin on Wednesday night in an effort to prove that he was being bullied. It shows Simpkins, who was identified by police as wearing a light-colored hoodie in the footage, being pummeled by the other boy, who was 3 years his junior, while holding his hands around his head. Once the fight was over, he went to his orange backpack, pulled out his gun, and started shooting. any justification in that? You going to excuse that? The fight was over. What he wanted was some revenge. He wanted some retaliation. And he was probably embarrassed because he was getting beat up by a 15-year-old kid. A third victim. Oh, wait a minute. Both he and the 15-year-old boy remain in a hospital. Oh, okay. Pettit is expected to survive is in a good condition, but the 15-year-old boy is in critical condition. A third victim, a teenage girl, suffered a graze wound but is no longer in the hospital. A fourth person, believed to be a pregnant teacher, was injured when she tripped over in the chaos. Simpkins was arraigned on Thursday morning via video link. He told the judge he understood the charges and that he will retain his own attorney. Now he is in the Tarrant County Correctional Center awaiting his next court date. Multiple teachers and coaches were working to break up the altercation between Simpkins and the juvenile victim. Once the fight was broken up, the juvenile witness observed Simpkins go to an orange backpack and retrieve a black firearm. The witness observed Simpkins point the firearm at the juvenile victim and sees Simpkins shoot from her account 7 to 8 times. The witness then observed the juvenile victim fall to the ground. The police report, which DailyMail.com obtained a copy of on Thursday, read. It also reveals that Pettit was one of the teachers who tried to break up the fight. Simpkins' family spoke out to defend him on Wednesday night, claiming he is a lovable boy who snapped after being bullied. Oh, boy, here we go. Same old song and dance, people. Same old song and, oh, he's a lovable kid. He's a good kid. Let me see his grades. Let me hear teachers' versions of his attitude in the class. Probably paint a different story. They say the other kids picked on him because he has a nice car, a $35,000 Dodge Challenger, and wears nice clothes like a pair of $160 Off-White X Nike sneakers he is pictured in on social media. Why? I don't understand that. Something about that doesn't seem right to me. Other social media post him sitting in a car with what looks like a black gun in the side door. Police confirmed in his arrest warrant that the gun used in the shooting was black, but they have not given any further details. It's also unclear who it belongs to, when it was purchased, and why he was able to get it into the school. The school does not use metal detectors like other high schools. Simpkins lives in a $400,000 home with his grandmother, Lily. His grandmother. His grandmother. He drives a 2018 silver Dodge Charger, and his family described him as a lovable kid. Of course, they're going to describe him as a lovable kid. It's unclear what his parents do for work or how involved they are in his life. He was robbed. It was recorded. It happened not just once. It happened twice. He was scared. He was afraid. It could have been a decision that he could have committed suicide. He was trying to protect himself. Protect himself? The fight was over. What are you trying to protect? The fight is over. They were blessed financially. He was able to get things that other teenagers cannot have because he wore nice clothes, because he drove nice cars. He was like a target. Carol Harrison Lafayette, another relative, told reporters outside the family's home on Wednesday night. Of course, they're going to, this is what they do. They always do this damage control when one of their relatives get caught up in some dirt. They always say, oh, he's a good boy. He's a lovable kid. Oh, he wouldn't hurt nobody. Mm-hmm. There's no justification of anybody being hurt. We have to look at the fact that bullying is real and it takes us all. So right here, this is kind of like a diversionary tactic right here. We're diverting from the actual crime and say, oh, he was bullied. It's no excuse. It's no excuse for his behavior. No excuse at all. See, they always do this. Yeah, this was bad, but no buts. He shot two people. One of them still in the hospital. But really, he shot three. We have to take a look at the fact that bullying is real. Oh, yeah, you want to go make the bullying argument. There's no excuse for you shooting someone, getting bullied. And I do apologize. We ask as a family for forgiveness of any type of hurt, she went on. Sent Wheat, his cousin, wrote in a Facebook post, at the end of the day, my little cousin was bullied. I don't know to feel about this. He not no bad kid. Need some sentence structure there. She later claimed in the comments section of her post that her aunt went to the school to report the bullying, but that nothing was done. Right now, they about to come up with what shoulda, coulda been done when all the signs was ignored and the cries for help, she said. Timberview High School did not immediately respond to inquiries on Thursday morning about whether or not the bullying was ever reported. English teacher Pettit's sister, Grace Renierson, said the bullet narrowly missed his aorta and described the shooting as one of the scariest mornings of my life. She added in a tweet, feeling extremely blessed and thankful, please hold your loved ones close. This is a crazy world we're living in. Another victim, an adult male, is not in surgery, but is in a good position. A third victim, a teenage girl, was expected to be released from the hospital on Wednesday evening. So two will remain in the hospital, which continue to make, hopefully, a speedy recovery, police said. But yeah, if this had been a white person that had done that, this would have been a whole different scenario. This would have been a whole different story. We wouldn't be talking about bullying. We'd be talking about, oh yeah, white people do this all the time. That's what we would be saying. Oh yeah, white people do this all the time. 9 times out of 10, if there's a mass shooting, it's a white person. Which 75% of mass shootings in this country have a black perpetrator. The only reason why we think it's the white people that do a lot of these mass shootings is because those are the ones that get reported on the news most of the time. And I think the reason why this made it to national news was because the news media was jumping on this like, oh, another white person shooting a bunch of folk at a school. And then when a picture came out, they were like, okay, all right. What time is it? Oh, what are we talking about today? See what happens when you jump to conclusions. But this is a type of scenario that the apostles of blackness like to defend all the time. When a black person does this, it's because he has troubles, he's being bullied and racism and white supremacy and white rage, and this is why our black kids are acting like this. Nah, the black kids are acting like this because they're little criminals. Like I said, I used to get bullied like nobody's business when I was a kid. Matter of fact, if there was a contest and they said, hey, everybody, who's the person you like to bully more than anybody? They'll be like, Vincent, because I was soft. I was a coward. Didn't want to fight anybody. But I never imagined of going somewhere and saying, you know what, I'm going to get a gun. I didn't like it. I had to endure it. And I didn't want to get in a fight with anybody. Well, most people could whoop my tail. I wasn't much of a fighter. Might be a different story today. But back then I wasn't much of a fighter. But I never imagined that I would get a gun and start shooting people. And maybe a few times I wish certain people would just go away or whatever. But I never would have, it never probably would have crossed my mind, never would have crossed my mind to get a gun and just start shooting people. So I wouldn't use that as an excuse. That's not an excuse to bring a gun to school and start shooting people. And the fight was over. And what are you doing with that gun in your backpack in the first place? And I find it hard to believe that this kid was being bullied because he was rich. Now, there are people that do, you know, oh, you're a rich kid. But I find that hard to believe in this scenario. I really do. But you see the dynamics are different based on the race of the people involved. If it was a white person, all we would see, Black Lives Matter. But these same people, they don't have that same energy when a black person gets involved in the same thing. It's called a double standard. But anyway, I'm over here talking, just flapping my yap and everything. And for some reason, my voice is so loud that I wasn't able to hear. I wasn't able to hear the fruit bats. Alert. One of these days I'm gonna get that fixed, but that's my fruit bat alert. That lets you know I'm about to go to the phones. And if you're a person and you want to involve yourself in character assassinations and trolling and excessive profanity and ad hominem attacks and things of that sort, I'm gonna let you know. You start out with me, you're gonna get hung up on. I'm just gonna say that. I'm gonna hang up on you. So if you think you can involve yourself in that type of activity, and you best hang up now, because I'm going to help you out. But anyway, let me get to the phones. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, Vincent, what's going on, man?
Ah, Pianchi, what's up, man?
Yeah. I would have been here last week, but some people in cars got in front of me and drove real slow.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't have a show last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
well, I'll tell you that.
My wife and I, we had a last-minute change of plans, so.
They wanted me to miss the show.
Oh.
You know, that... You know, you make some good points. And you talk about the... Let me ask you, that children, don't you?
No, I don't have any kids.
Well, when you was a kid, and didn't your parents teach you if somebody was following you, as a, you supposed to run?
Yeah.
Run where you could be safe in a store or go to
yeah.
ring somebody's doorbell? Didn't they teach you that?
Mm-hmm.
Did they teach
well,
you to try to circle around and come back and fight the person?
Nope.
Well, that's what Trayvon Martin done. He
exactly.
should have ran home.
Exactly.
You know, I don't understand some of this stuff. What are they teaching children? His father was over at his whose house? Girlfriend's house.
Yep.
Where's the mother?
Mm-hmm.
She was the one doing all the talking.
Yeah. Usually he stays with the he I think his mother had custody of him, but he was visiting his father because he got suspended from school for stealing some stuff, being caught with some stolen merchandise in his backpack.
He was stealing.
Yeah.
Mm. He used some choice words while talking to his girlfriend, describing who was following him. What did he say? Let's see. Did he say John the Baptist is following him? I can't remember. Oh, Creepy Cracker.
Yep.
Wonder where he learned that from.
Mm. Inquiring minds want to know.
And like you say, Mike Brown, and you know, I feel sorry. I have sympathy for the family because I knew the father.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And like you say, the video of him assaulting the store owner in the store. And then he's over there walking down the street, him and some more, and Darren Wilson is coming by over there on Canfield to rush to an emergency with another child. And Wilson apparently told him they need to get out of the street, walk on the sidewalk, or get over so cars can come by. And, of course, out comes the F-bomb.
Yep.
So Wilson stops and bags up. Then things proceed from there. Don't reach in from the passenger side and try to take the man's, the officer's gun because it went off in the car. Then when that big noise wakes you up and make you realize, uh-oh, then he tries to run. Then he turned around and going to charge the officer. Well,
yep, like a bull.
Yeah. Well, he shoots him. I feel, you know, it's sad that that happened like that, but what all of a sudden happened with the, I don't, and he was supposed to have been selling marijuana to the store owner.
Oh, my goodness.
But I guess that never got that far into the story making. Then you got these outsiders come in and start riding. You know, Ferguson, I think I told you a story. Ferguson is a ring, one of the cities that surrounds St. Louis western border.
Yeah.
Now, Ferguson was formed with blacks because blacks was fleeing St. Louis City, areas like Penrose Park, O'Fallon Park, Walnut Park, DeVille, DeVille, and hang on there for a quick second.
Okay.
And DeVille is where Sumner High School is, the school that Tina Turner went to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ferguson sits next to Dalewood. Ferguson is next to Berkeley, where you don't have about 35 girls, all but one black, disappeared since 2000.
Oh, wow.
In that black town. So, blacks moved to Ferguson, which was all white in the area they moved. Of course, whites left. You know, it's one thing about white folks. When they decide to leave, it's usually for a good reason.
Yeah.
If I'm in a neighborhood with them and I see them all of a sudden driving by waving at me, bye-bye. You know what I'm doing? I'm going to start packing. Something must be getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
What a barometer. What a barometer. So then the neighborhood, these people, because of politics, and it's the politics, these people that came last in the Ferguson, well, they brought in along with them a lot of crime and other things.
Yep.
So the people in Ferguson, which is black, close to 70%, right at 70%, they vote, put who they want in office. Mayor Knowles, which is a white mayor, who Leslie Fadden, Michael's Brown's mother, ran for city council, and she lost. Wonder why? I guess people didn't want her on the city council. Blacks didn't come out and vote for her. The white mayor, longstanding, he was reelected. Oh, this is after 2014. He's not there now. A lot of things happened there. And you know what hurts? You know, what's the biggest investment that you as a new family can make in?
New home, I guess.
A new home.
I guess a new home.
Absolutely. Blacks moved into Ferguson. The district was a whole lot better than the city of St. Louis. But as the population changed, when other blacks started moving in, see, I tell it like it is. Ain't no whites moving out there in Ferguson. That was blacks moving into Ferguson.
Yep.
Amongst the other blacks that had got there first, earlier. And the schools started going down. Some of the worst scores in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Then, all the crime and stuff. You had 53 white police officers, we'll say officers, and I think one was black. Well, that's the way the people wanted it, because they wanted what? They wanted their interests to be protected. Whether it was their housing from burglaries and holdups and all sorts of things, crime, they wanted that to be protected by some kick-ass police officers. Not somebody going to let you go. Not somebody going to say, well, we investigating on it. It was the kick-ass police officers that kept it safe until the police officers resigned. And even had a black police chief that came on, because the original police chief, he quit after when the riots were going on. That black police chief, I think he came from Houston. He quit too. So that's what happened. And the blacks that had been living there since the late 60s, and on through, their housing value, Vincent, their house is the most biggest investment you can make. The prices, the housing value declined fast. Why?
Yep.
Because everybody leaves. Nobody wants to live there. The schools is bad. So how in the heck you expect blacks to maintain generational wealth when one of the biggest objects in generational wealth is being destroyed by the politics and the crime and the course of events? Ain't that a shame?
Yep. I mean, really, it's sad, man. It really is.
Oh, but wait a minute. It don't stop there. I'm talking about a fruit bag. I am. Where do these blacks up and move? Which destroys the narrative in popular conversation. Well, since blacks have been coming out of St. Louis, moving into North County, like places like Florissant, you know they have a list of the richest black communities. And you probably heard of some of these cities, like in Maryland, Prince George County.
I lived in Prince George's County. That's where I live.
Yeah. And you heard them like Moderno out in California and places like that.
Yep.
Well, guess which is the number 7 richest black area? It's Florissant, Missouri, which is just a little bit way. Yeah, they call them black excellence. Cedar Hill is number 10 in Texas. Randallstown, Maryland is number 9. Stone Mountain Village, Georgia is number 8. And guess what's number 7? Florissant, Missouri. Out there, just a little beyond Ferguson. So many blacks don't left City of St. Louis, those that should be and know better, just like you did in Chicago along North Shore Drive, where you had over 3,000 black millionaires leave Chicago because of the crime. So Florissant is now number 7 richest black community. It wasn't there all the time because Florissant was majority white. Florissant right now is 58% black. What happened to the whites? And also some other blacks. Well, whites pull up stakes and say, adios. And blacks look out the window and see this exodus. They say, where in the hell are all these whites going? Ask the question. They can run in the house, start packing too. The blacks in Ferguson also moved beyond Florissant because other Florissant is becoming like Ferguson was. And Yeah, because blacks are moving there too because of politics and certain people that ain't never had to pay a trash bill, didn't have to worry about paying for their water in the city. That stuff, you know, you're generally free, especially trash pickup. And you can put your car up on blocks in front of the house and take out the transmission rear end. You know, if it takes you a month to do it, just sit there. So now, Vincent, they're moving further west across the Missouri River, not the Mississippi, Missouri River, into what's called St. Charles. St. Charles used to be the capital of Missouri. Springfield is.
Okay.
St. Charles is a majority white. W-H-I-T-E. And in the cities there, like St. Peter's, Wentzville, where the GM plant is, you got Mexico, Missouri, and others. The police departments in those cities where blacks are moving, guess what the ethnic makeup is of them?
Oh, my goodness.
White. White. Mm. Now, wait a minute. This don't make sense. Because if it's whites the problem that caused Ferguson to become the riot city after the killing of Mike Brown, why would the people who had fled earlier and moved in that area further flee, walking away from their property value, into another county that's ethnically damn near 100% white? But surely in many cases, the police departments are all white males.
Yeah.
You mentioned about this mass shooter. And I'd like to know who wrote that story that you just got through comment about.
Oh, okay. It's in the Daily Mail out of the UK.
That's good enough. I'll find it. Because I like to share that with other fruit rats. We're not selfish fruit rats.
Yeah, because, you know what the narrative is, that, you know, when a black person gets caught in a shooting, you know, he ends up dead. The police come and they kill him, but they take the white person to Burger King.
Well, you know, when that black man left Missouri, I think he left the Kansas City area. I'm not sure. He went all the way down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and left a note saying he's going to kill a police officer. Gets down there, ambushed two white police officers, killing one, stand above him, and shoots him dead, pumping bullets in him, and seriously injures another. He gets captured. They didn't kill him.
No.
He just killed two white. He just seriously injured and killed a white police officer. They didn't kill him and beat him up. Another one down in Baton Rouge. Yeah, another one down in Baton Rouge. The police was stopped at the red light, and he was behind. He gets out of his car and comes around and shoots. I think he shot him in the head. He got captured unperturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, talk about this kid, this mass shooter in Texas. You know what that remind me of? Kyle Rittenhouse, the hero.
You know what? I've been hearing his name this week, too.
Yeah. Kyle Rittenhouse was being bullied, attacked.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he defended himself with his weapon. And he's being ridiculed, demonized, as all kinds of nefarious things. You say they done what with this kid here, this black kid in Texas? He came home to a party?
Yeah, celebrating.
And the attorney, they showed up at the police station when on their own accord, on their own time?
Yep.
Well, when the police gave Kyle Rittenhouse a bottle of water, oh, now look how they treating this white boy.
Mm-hmm.
Giving him a bottle of water. You know, I keep telling you, black folks are some of the biggest races in the country.
Yeah,
it's not
they
reported
are.
That way. Got to be. It's got to be, man. Because when you look at what's going on in all these cities, and the one I like to talk about the best is Chicago. You know why? Because you got three newspapers there that reported pretty damn accurately. Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, ABC 7, Chicago. They report since Memorial Day, this past Memorial Day, May the 31st, 2021, up until just past Tuesday, October the 5th, there have been 292 murders and 2,331 blacks shot. Who were they shot by? The police? In those 127 days? Nope. Wasn't the police. They were shot by other blacks. Now, it might have been one that slipped in there for good reasons. But that there ain't racism. What do you call it?
I mean, really?
2,331 in 127 days through October the 7th, which was Thursday.
Yeah.
Just this
and
past Thursday.
It's going to be a lot more come Monday. Monday morning, we're going to hear about how many people got shot and killed over the weekend.
Well, wait a minute. Do you know the previous year that ended when this count started? From Memorial Day 2020 until Memorial Day ending the count, 2021, and beginning the one I just quoted you, you had 4,845 blacks shot by other blacks in 371 days since Memorial Day weekend with 745 murders. That's almost 1,045 murders in about a year, what, 4 months.
that's crazy, you know. But and we tend to, you know, the mainstream media, they tend to look away at this, and they're doing a disservice to the rest of us. And I really do believe that the people in the mainstream media, they know that there are people who are lazy minded. And that they can just tell them anything, and they'll just believe anything. And what we're dealing with is a bunch of people who are believing what they want to believe. They see the evidence of what is really going on, but they choose to believe that black people are the victims. And when they know better, they know black people really aren't the victims, but they choose to walk in that cognitive dissonance.
I have to kind of push back on that, because black people are the victims of other blacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. See, they want to say they're the victims of whites. Ain't no white folks shot. Ain't no white police officers shot. Matter of fact, whites are leaving. Some cities are having a hard time getting police, period.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. In Minneapolis on Chicago and I think it's 18th Street, where George Floyd met his ill-gotten fate, it was a domestic disturbance. Black woman called the police. The dispatcher answers the phone. It was 8th Street in Chicago. Chicago and 8th Street. Asked the dispatcher to send police over. Apparently, this man, husband, boyfriend, whatever, is causing problems. You know what the dispatcher told her? You're going to have to walk down to 5th Street. They'll meet you down there. They ain't coming up there.
Wow.
They're not coming up there. And you know what? I don't blame them.
I wouldn't blame them either.
You got to put up with a whole lot of mess. It kind of reminds me at the high rise. I think it's, well, I know it's in St. Louis. The projects. Somebody don't set the fire vent on fire up on about the 11th floor. Firemen come, getting ready to enter the building, and out from above comes a microwave. Somebody's trying to bomb the firemen entering the building by throwing microwaves out the window.
And I don't know what possesses people to do that type of stuff. I'm like, what in the world?
You know, you got to laugh at this stuff.
I mean,
it don't sound real. And people get mad at you, man, for just telling them, like, hey, if it didn't exist, you wouldn't be able to talk about it.
Exactly. You know, like, we make this stuff up. Like, let's see what lie we can make up today. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, they get pissed off at you because you're telling the truth. Oh, there you go. There's always the one.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, if it wasn't happening, how are you going to talk about it?
I mean, really?
Then you know what the other directive is, the reflective is? Well, in communities that's white, black, or Asian kill Asians, white kill whites, and blacks kill blacks.
Yeah. That's a diversionary tactic. You know, they've been doing it because, you know, someone brings up the case of black-on-black crime, and someone told them that it was racist to say that because nobody hears about white-on-white crime. No, the reason why we hear about black-on-black crime is because black folks are always saying that the police officers are hunting them down, when in reality it's black folks killing black folks, not white police officers killing black folks. And that's why that term really came up, black on black crime, to say, hey, you all, we're showing you all what the deal really is. It's not the white cops that are killing you. It's yourselves who are killing you. But someone, oh, that's racist. What about white on white crime? You know, come on.
Well, in Ferguson, damn Obama, and I can't stand him. I voted for him the first time, Vincent, because he was black.
Yeah.
I voted for him because he was black, as they say. What else could I vote for? He didn't have no political record, much to say, except for taking the place of a seat that him and Alan Keyes went at it over. Alan Keyes would have made a better person. Alan Keyes is at least a constitutionalist. But what else am I going to vote for him for? I want to see a black man in that position. Because you keep hearing this stuff, there ain't going to be no black president and all that stuff. Well, you got one. And Lord have mercy. Oh, help me, Lord. I didn't vote for him the second time. No. And really, if the election had been held several weeks after he got in office, I wouldn't have voted for him. But I had to wait, 4 years?
Yeah.
So, there you have it. Could go on and talk more about it, but, you know, you probably don't. Yeah. People probably don't dropped off. They didn't want to hear that. But yeah. It's true.
Well, let me get the. I got another caller on here. I don't know who this is, but let
I
me.
I hope that's Sarge.
Hello.
Man,
welcome
what am
to
I
the
gonna
show?
Say after Pianti goes on there, man? But you know, geez, I guess I could talk about the fruit bats in Chicago. I'd be happy to talk about that since he brought it up. And I came in on toward the tail end of the conversation. Did you talk about the cat fight, or should I call it a demic rat fight, between Lori Lightfoot and Kim Fox, the state's attorney, the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, and the state's attorney, Kim Fox? Did y'all cover that?
No, I didn't cover that, but I read about it, and I'm going to have
to
say.
Oh, well, I got the good, baby. I got the good for you. I got good for you because it's amazing.
Yeah, I have
it's
to take
amazing.
More life for
I mean,
this one.
You know, you ask yourself, to what depths of malfeasance and maladministration is it possible for Democrats to go to? And when you say, well, they can't go any lower, they just go ahead and set new records and surprise you all over again. And this
yeah.
is one. Now you got Lori Lightfoot slamming Kim Fox for not bringing charges in a deadly West Side shooting. Now, Tucker Carlson covered on the show. He showed the video. You can clearly see the perpetrators. You can see the license plate numbers of the cars they got. They're out in the street shooting into a house. People in the house are returning the gunfire. There's a dead body in the street, okay? You know, and the Chicago coppers came right on the scene. I mean, this was multiple people. They had to involve people in the house, people on the street, about 10, 12 people. Cops were on the scene. They made a bunch of arrests. Now, yeah, one person killed, several others wounded. Shootout now, public, on video, right out there in the street, right? At least St. Valentine's Day gangsters would do it in a closed garage, you know what I'm saying? But anyhow, Lightfoot said that Lightfoot wanted Kim Fox. She declined to prosecute. You know what she said one of the reasons she declined to prosecute any of the gang members was? Now, I swear I'm not making this up. She said she didn't want to go prosecute, among other reasons, because nobody wanted to talk, and they were mutual combatants. I swear to God, she used that term.
Oh,
they were having a duel. So you see, you know, dueling,
man.
Apparently, she's legalizing dueling in Cook County, apparently. So if you want to engage in a duel in Chicago, go on down to Cook County, anywhere in Cook County, apparently, because the state's attorney there will not prosecute you for dueling. Andrew Jackson would have been right at home with this woman. Now, and then Lightfoot, now listen, now, Lightfoot sent a letter to Kim Fox. And this is what she said in the letter. I swear, I'm not making that as up, man. See, you might say, oh, sorry, there you go, get exaggerated. No, I swear I'm not, man. This is what she said. And I'm paraphrasing, but this is pretty, I know it's accurate. She feared a lack of accountability could send the city into chaos. Because as well known, there's no chaos in Chicago before this latest bit of chaos in the shootout that Kim Fox declined to press charges for. But I swear, that's what she said. Kim Fox's current actions could send the city into chaos. Because we all know Chicago is stable, calm, and serene.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I mean,
only Democrats
yeah.
govern like this.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said earlier, I kind of taken Lori Lightfoot's side on this, which that is saying a whole lot.
But she's ignoring much of what's going on by handcuffing her coppers.
Yeah,
I talk to
exactly.
them all the time. I'm always talking to Chicago cops about the mess going on in that city. They're not being allowed to do their job. This dummy wanted to ban police foot pursuits.
Yeah, let me tell you something. These black female prosecutors, that's what we try to say. Vote for somebody because they black ain't always the best thing. You got another one in city of St. Louis. Guess what? Her name is Kim Gardner. There's something about these Kims. I'm telling you, you got to be careful. You got to be careful.
Yeah, don't make,
she
don't
does
make
the same thing.
Kill.
Wait a minute. The last thing to go down is that you got a person I think he's a murderer. Comes to court three times, and she fails to send a prosecutor to court. So the judge say, "Well, I gotta let this guy go." Black mother of the person that he killed is outraged and crying. This is shameful, man. And black folks don't say a damn thing about this. You know what's funny thing about them? They don't want to talk about their own. When they're guilty, it's two left shoes. They want to, you know, wasn't it not the squad along with Kim Fox that came down to St. Louis to stand next to Kim Gardner when she was being prosecuted? Well, she, what should I say, persecuted in the news and everything? You know what she done? When she got elected, we also elected a governor in the state of Missouri. And she come up with this damn excuse talking about his, him and his girlfriend, that he took naked pictures of her while she was asleep and brought charges like that on him. But when the time came to show the pictures, where are they?
Yeah.
She was put up by her Democratic cronies to do that.
Man, I'm telling you, it's like circle the wagons time, man. Oh, we afraid them white folks can't find out what's bad about us. They're going to make it exaggerated, make it even worse. And then the problem gets worse, and they got more to circle the wagons about because they didn't confront the problem with the opportunity to do it when it was relatively manageable. I mean, it's like an endless cycle, man. It's like that they're exaggerating the cycle by refusing to have, A, accountability, and, B, allowing basic sound law enforcement practices that make for a stable city. You think Richard J. Daley would have put up with this for a microsecond?
Hell, Kim Gardner fired everybody.
He was one of the most corrupt mayors ever in the city of Chicago. But if there's a way to be corrupt in a good way, at least as far as maintaining civic order, he was that kind of corrupt. Because he maintained a pretty stable city for the most part. Even in the most crime-ridden neighborhoods, it wasn't anything like this ever under Mayor Richard J. Daley.
And I'm going to ask you something else. People talk about whites kill whites. Show me where you got whites killing each other to the point of over 2,300 and something in a little over 100 days. Where?
I mean,
where?
Exactly.
What period of time was it? 200 B.C.? When?
I mean, yeah.
Man, you don't get it, man. You just don't get it, man. Say her name. Breonna Taylor. Say his name. George Floyd. You don't get it,
why
man.
Would you make that criminal a damn icon? That don't make no sense. You know, I tell you what, if he was prosecuted to the full extent of the law for what he done to that white woman that they broke and entered and assaulted her, she was pregnant, he wouldn't have been in the position he was in when he was in Minneapolis. He's still been in jail.
By the way, I don't think she deserved to die, and I'm going to say it. She didn't deserve to die. But Breonna Taylor, nonetheless, was a greasy thumb Jake Guzik for a drug gang there in Louisville.
Yep.
She was an accountant.
Hung with the wrong crowd.
She was literally their accountant.
Breonna Taylor, that sounds familiar. Is that the lady
She was the woman that she was an EMT, and she some gang enforcement, drug enforcement.
Is she the one that had the dead body in a trunk of a rental car?
Allowed to use the car that she rented had a dead body in the trunk of the car. Yes.
So she drove around with the damn dead body.
But we don't know if she did or not. We know that she rented the car in her name and allowed someone else to use it, who was subsequently arrested with the dead body in the trunk.
But that ain't right.
Like I said, she was the accountant for the drug gang. She took care of their administrative work. The checks and everything else. They got them dummies on cell phones calling out of jail. Not cell phones, but, you know, the pay phones that you call somebody. and they're telling, he's telling about their operations on the phone, and they know, they should know they're monitored because you don't have expectation of privacy in jail. So they're up there telling
tell
about how she didn't make this payment, or she was supposed to have done this, or you did wrong by exposing her this way or whatever. She was involved with the drug gang.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's a thing that I don't understand. Her and Jarvis, I think his name was, I'm not sure. They were supposed to have been asleep, but when the police came in, she was fully clothed. But it's all right. That's all right. It's all right, Sarge. But if a hail of bullets is coming down a hallway, narrow as it is, how is it that he didn't get hit?
Yeah.
Now, you know what I think, Sarge? Yeah, this is what I think. I think he used her as a human shield. What else
who
could possibly
knows,
explain
man.
This?
These
huh?
guys aren't paragons of virtue. I mean, anything's possible. And they said they tried to say they did it when they were sleeping. She wasn't sleeping. She was fully clothed, and she answered. She went to the door and said something to the officers before the shooting started.
Well, you know, I don't know if they were. Well, how in the heck could you use someone you just got through, a woman you just got through having sex with, possibly, maybe not, as a human shield? Where did the love leave all of a sudden?
There's no honor among thieves, as they say.
Or drug dealers.
Yeah, take your pick.
Yeah.
Look, we got a real problem here. We got distortion, demagoguery, misleading, misperception, and over and above everything else, unfettered Marxism and cultural Marxism at every level, and that's what this is all about. Let's identify the culprits here. We want this country to be fundamentally transformed, not we. I'm talking about the people that are doing all this shit. They want a fundamental transformation. I was telling Pyongy, I sent Pyongy an email, and on that email, I look at the nominee for the comptroller of the Office of Currency that Joe Biden just put up. Have you heard about him, Vince, her, rather? You heard about her, this woman,
again?
and her background?
Who is that again?
She is Joe Biden's current nominee for the comptroller of the Office of the Currency. Now, I don't know. A lot of people don't know what that is. But let me explain to you what that is first so you know why it's significant. See, it's one of them bureaucracies that you don't really know about that has outsized influence on the economy of the United States. What it does is it charters and it supervises banks, and especially banks, foreign banks in the United States that are chartered to operate in the United States. It's very significant. It's a very important posting. And the woman he's nominated for this position is a woman named Sal Amarova. Sal Amarova was born in Kazakhstan, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, not Russia. When she was born, it was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. She graduated from Moscow University on a Vladimir Ilyich Lenin scholarship. She wrote a thesis about Marxism, capitalism, and revolution in Moscow, about the Bolshevik Revolution, which, by the way, it was a published treatise for her doctorate. And one of the rules for any nominee to any job is, any cabinet job, is that when you are nominated for a cabinet job and you accept the nomination, you are required to turn over all published articles to the committee so they can evaluate it. This is a requirement. She has scrubbed it from a website and everything else. It used to be up there, but she has scrubbed it. And she has made statements like the Russian economic system was superior to the United States. I mean, the USSR system was superior to the United States because they didn't have a gender pay gap. She also said that she thinks the Federal Reserve ought to assume control of all private bank accounts in the United States. You know, a private banking for individual investors should be abolished, and you should all be required to put your money with the Federal Reserve supervising your bank account and paying interest to you in a Federal Reserve bank account. That, she said a whole lot of other shit, too. This woman is not just a Marxist. She is a Marxist-Stalinist.
understand.
Now, who in God's name ever thought a president of the United States duly elected? Well, he wasn't. We know better than that. But elected by hook or by crook. And by crook in this case, who would have ever thought they'd put up an avowed outright communist for office of the controller? Comptroller.
Let me say this.
Who would have thought it, man? But we're looking at it right in front of our eyes.
Let me say this before we get cut off here. I want to talk about the southern border and the wall. But in Nehemiah, in Nehemiah, second chapter, 17, 18th verse. And I'm going to show you why Donald Trump was so holy. It says, then I gave them my report. Face it, we're in a bad way here. Jerusalem is a wreck. Its gates are burned up. Come, let's build a wall of Jerusalem and not live with this disgrace any longer. I told them how God was supporting me and how the king was backing me up. Donald Trump was a messenger of God. He wanted to put a wall up on the southern border to protect us, Vincent. And me, this fruit bat, shall let you guys have it.
Okay, thank you there, Pionki. I'm in the archives right now. Once again, it's always good having you guys on here. Y'all give a extra dose of common sense on this program. And I always appreciate you guys. Got to make an announcement. Just want to make it one more time. Next weekend, I won't be having a show. I'm going to be going out of town celebrating my birthday because my birthday is next Saturday, and I'm going to be out of town. So, and I probably won't have a show until the 30th. So it'll be 2 weeks. So you know, I just want to put that bug in you all's ear so you won't come in and be like, hey, Vincent ain't got a show today, you know. So, but just putting that out there for you guys.
All right, well, okay. Enjoy yourself, brother. I hope you have a good time.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you. And that'll be it for the show today. Good show, as always, if I don't say so myself. But, like I said, no show next week or the week after. So this is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off, and until the next time. I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good Saturday.